This is episode 000056. It's 2016 and the internet sucks. Cheers. Brought to you, of course, by Distilled Spirits.
Hey.
That was me cheersing. That was me cheersing my microphone. I clicked the glass into the... All right. I don't know how that'll play on the recording.
Let me try that again. There we go.
Oh, there. I heard it that time.
There we go. It's the tone control.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You really do forget how to do this. Are you swum under with house stuff?
Yeah, so we haven't told anyone on the show this yet. I bought a house. I'm buying a house. And
has the closing happened yet?
No. Okay. It's happening in February. And, you know, as you are familiar with, there's like so much to do before that can like happen. And I'm sure many listeners are familiar with this. It sucks. And there is like so much paperwork and there are so many people to talk to and like things you need. And like, I have to sign a paper that says I got another paper, like all this stuff.
And you got to initial the first paper.
Right. There's just so much stuff going on. And then on top of like holidays, coming back to work after I was off for like 2 weeks because of vacations and holidays and things. And just, there's like everything. And I'm really feeling it today.
yeah.
But yeah, so we're moving into a house. We bought a house and we're no longer renting and all the things.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is our first show of the new year. And see, every other podcast in the world is doing their year roundup and everything like that. So I thought we'd just talk about Fallout instead.
Okay. Okay.
No,
Super mutants, right?
Super mutants, am I right? Oh my god. No, all right. Still a guitar podcast. Did you do anything for New Year's?
What did I do? I went to Taylor's house, friend Taylor.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. We went to his house, we played some music. I played the telly through my whole thing. Because my whole thing is at his house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds so cool. Oh my god. It's the best. It's just like, it's awesome. Wicked feedbacky and like, you know, but like controllable. And like, it seems like everything's microphonic, but it's just because it's like not like the deepest wax potting on the pickups and stuff.
Right.
It's so cool. And so after doing that for like a couple hours, and Taylor's been like, I've been talking to him through my whole process of building with MJT. He has decided to build a bass with MJT.
Right. I think you mentioned that. I knew he wanted to do that somehow.
He's officially doing it. He's made the payment and he's in cahoots with them. And he's got the same sales rep I did.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he's building, we'll have him on the show, I guess, at some point when he's like really moving along. But I know he's building a jazz bass.
Oh, cool.
In like a super heavy relic. So it's going to be
neat.
Wicked. Yeah. Yeah, we were actually, just before we started recording, he and I were talking about wiring and stuff, and I suggested he get a pre-wired thing like mine because it saves a bunch of time. And
yeah.
But yeah, we'll probably have him on at some point. He's really looking forward to it. So, like, I want to do a Strat or something now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I have a baby, so on New Year's, I went to bed.
Nice, yeah. Beth had to work the next day, so she went to bed too. I was by myself, so... But, and I came home and then like had to take the dog out and then it was like 2 a.m. And then I had to get up at like 7 a.m. because Beth had to go to work and I had to watch the dog. Oh my God, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Well, Netflix had these, they had like a bunch to choose from. They were phony countdowns.
Oh yeah, I've heard about
that. For your
kids. Brilliant.
For your kids, yeah.
What a great idea.
So... hopefully I'll get to use that at some point in the future. I hope
someone at Netflix got a major bonus for that idea.
Yeah. they think of such good stuff. Yeah. Well, no, anyway. In all seriousness, there's a little bit of news. Do you want to, we would actually do kind of a year in review thing. We flip back through our note sheet.
I do have this pedal that we can talk about. Yeah. I have played it. I saw your question earlier. Yes, I have played this pedal.
Okay.
Yeah, we can chat about it a little bit.
All right. So that's going to leave us with plenty to get through. So we'll be able to just kind of touch on everything quickly and, you know, we'll review our year and the one or two things that have happened before NAMM.
Yeah. I think NAMM's like next week or the week after.
Yeah. All right. Let me hit you with one of these.
Thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring the Tone Control. Go to pedalgenie.com and tell them you heard about it on the Tone Control.
Cool. So following up super quick from last real episode, I guess, that Yamaha RevStar series that we were talking about, those guitars have a push-pull knob, and I think I may have even said that it's for a coil tap, but it's not. It's actually for a high-pass filter. Hmm. So that's pretty cool. Are you drinking whiskey?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Do you have a...
I'm drinking gin, bro.
Oh, no shit. See, I thought I was going to be like, you're going to show me your beer, and I'm going to be like, tonight, since this is our New Year's celebration, this is straight Kentucky bourbon whiskey.
No, man, I got a G&T up in here. And
and we did not communicate about that beforehand.
No, I did not call you. because I've been like saving money and not buying as much beer, but I have a bottle of gin. So
right.
I was like, let's get some tonic and limes and make this shit happen.
Yeah, I got myself a holiday treat. I like to do that once in a while. So I
love me some juniper infused booze. Okay, moving on. The PRS has announced the CE24, but in a bolt-on configuration. So the CE was a model that was out for a long time. A lot of people loved it. It was like one of the earliest PRS guitars. And then I'm not totally sure. Maybe they stopped making it. There's a new version, 24-fret bolt-on. So it's like one of the few guitars in PRS's like legit American-made really good line that's a bolt-on. So that's cool. Slightly different top carve on this, but just mostly for comfort. And now it's got a mahogany back maple top instead of an alder back maple top. And then here we go. Another reason to hate on Gibson. Oh, yeah. I need you to open this link.
Okay. Hold on.
So this is
the episode I did not open the links to yet.
This is the Joe Bonamassa, you know, famous blues guitarist. This is the Bona Bird. Bona Bird. Bona Beard.
Bona Beard.
B-O-N-A-B-Y-R-D.
Mm-hmm. Les Paul tone and feel, undeniable style. Undeniable. Unable to be denied.
I don't know if style is something that can be denied. I guess that's why it's undeniable. Checks out. They're right.
According to Webster.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is a 50s Les Paul with a 60s Firebird neck.
And one of those wraparound tailpieces too, I see. Yep.
No tunematic bridge, no tunematic saddles or anything like that. Pelham blue. So, okay, it looks nice. And it's like $8,000.
Great job.
Yep, and they've only made 100, and Bonamassa has played and signed each one.
Well, I'll tell you, he's not getting as much for his model as Peter Frampton is getting for the Phoenix Les Paul, which is going for $20,799.
Yep. That guitar has a really crazy story, though. Not that I think it's worth $21,000, but that's a really cool bit of trivia. This guitar was like lost in a plane crash and like at the bottom of the ocean or something crazy for like 20 years. He'd only recently got it back. Anyway, stupid Joe Bonamassa Les Paul Firebird thing. Ugh. I just look at it and it's like, it's totally a Frankenstein. And I think, why?
Yeah.
Like, that, he's already got other custom
Les Pauls. The headstock doesn't look undeniable. You know what? I'm denying it. I'm denying the style.
But Justin, it's undeniable.
Nay.
Oh God. Let's just keep going. This one thing was a real news story, but we can just make it real quick here. Floyd Rose. We don't really talk about Floyd Rose too often, but the FRX tremolo system. This is a direct swap, like two pneumatic stop bar tailpiece drop in Floyd Rose system.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you don't need to like route out your body and stuff. It's all completely surface mounted on the existing hardware.
Oh yeah. Kind of like you, if you put a Bigsby on, you just kind of bolt it right in there. Yeah. Yeah. So you'd have to add a lock to the nut too, right?
Well, they've got a whole thing for that. The kit includes a new truss rod cover for your guitar, and the nut locking nut is built into that.
Okay.
So you do that.
Oh yeah. I see the picture here.
Yeah, so you pass the strings through your existing nut, and then they lock behind the nut instead of
that's much better.
On the nut. Yeah, so pretty cool.
Wow.
It looks ugly. I mean, if you're going to mount this on your guitar, it's not the greatest looking thing, but whatever. I mean, if it's really something you want, then but you don't want to modify your guitar, get this.
Yeah.
That's totally cool. Drop-in ready.
That's cool.
You can set it to either be flush mount or floating.
Nice.
Wicked. We're both nodding. So what are we doing now? You want to run through the previous year's worth of stuff?
Yeah, let's...
Then do a little break and then
let's continue. Go over some things. Yeah, we'll break it in the middle or something like that. Because we did a podcast for... We didn't do this. We haven't done one of these before, but...
Last year... how long have we been doing this?
A while. I mean, it was episode 30 was the first one of 2015.
Yeah, and this is number 56.
56?
Did we? Yeah, because we already went through one holiday season, but like we didn't. Was that our short year? I don't know. Whatever.
Probably.
What did you like for 2015, J Dog?
What are my picks? I'm going to take these out of order. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're in order. First of all, you're...
Oh, mine are not in any order.
Yeah, okay.
So
mine kind of aren't either. I kind of just wrote them down as I thought of them. This was definitely the year of Gibson. Am I right? Did I spell that wrong? Typing and correcting my spelling in the doc. No, this wasn't the year of Gibson. Gibson was stupid.
You spelled this wrong too.
Oh my God. Spelled everything wrong.
Well, yeah, it totally wasn't. They, last year was really bad with like the whole price hike thing.
Yeah.
And then they fixed it, but they introduced all this other stuff to kind of cover up for it, I think.
Yeah, they kind of like doubled back. And now it's like embarrassing. But
no, you
not
guys
fixed.
Didn't get it. It was an interpretation. Like,
okay, but yeah, we've bitched about Gibson before, all last year. So yeah. Obviously, I don't know. You have to mention it in a year wrap up show. Mm-hmm. But I felt like EHX week after week after week, episode after episode, there's some EHX news. What is going on over there? They're just like they're doing everything.
Yeah, I saw you added this to the notes, and I was like, oh, really? And then I went through to look through the old stuff to make my list. And I was like, man, he's not kidding. Like every episode we talked about some EHX thing.
It's like Command F EHX.
I didn't realize it. Yeah.
Look how many hits.
I didn't realize it at the time. And there's like tons. So they released so many pedals, like just consistently through the year. And then now NAMM's coming. Who knows what's going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing we cut from this episode just a minute ago was a new EHX pedal.
Right. It's like, well, we can mention that. Obviously, there'll be news at NAMM. I mean, the other thing I'm thinking too is we did this news earlier. This is the stuff that nobody cared to hold until NAMM. Like,
yeah.
You know, so that whatever PRS and Floyd Rose are going to do at NAMM, you know, Or maybe Floyd Rose is not going to be at NAMM and they just wanted to get out ahead of things. Either way.
Maybe they only make one thing.
Yeah. Maybe. So let's see. Oh, remember the from Digital Audio Labs, they made the Stomp Blocks, this modular pedal board system. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
that's a great idea.
That's such a great idea. And I wonder how much it's catching on. I mean, I haven't heard any more about it, but, you know, Pedal Train is sort of like the thing you always think of about pedal boards, but they don't really have what this has. You know, I feel like Pedal Train is sort of the half-baked version of this idea. That was my feeling anyway. I thought it was worth talking about, mm-hmm. you know.
I lost you for a big chunk of that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hey, you know, it's 2016 and the internet sucks. Cheers. what else? Well, obviously, I'm a big UAD guy, but they released a bunch of cool stuff guitar related. It was a big guitar year for people with UAD hardware. There was the distortion pedals that are all Unison enabled. There's a bunch of amp models and stuff like that. Particularly what I want to say, what's sticking out to my mind right now is the SVT set, which I think we mentioned real quick, but I recently upgraded my UAD rig to a bigger Apollo, and I think that got cut out of the episode, but news, everybody, I upgraded my Apollo, and they gave me a coupon, which basically got me another plugin for free along with it, and that gives me cause to demo a bunch of stuff. So I was kind of just playing everything, all the new stuff that I hadn't played yet, and the SVT amps, there's the Classic and the SVT 3 Pro models, are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I honestly think they're the best sounding amp models I've ever heard, and they happen to be bass amps. It's and I have like direct experience with both of these real amps, and just brilliantly done. There's a simplicity to it, but then you can also kind of open the back panel and tweak some more detailed settings. I mean, all the reviews say. Guys that will actually carry around an SVT head and an 810 are like trying these out and going, well, shit. Now I don't got to carry that around anymore.
I don't have to carry a whole refrigerator full of speakers.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So shall I, let's do it like this. I'll just go through my whole thing. That seems to be working. Let's see. Another thing. Everything came out in March. Uh-huh. I think we just referenced that gag, or maybe I just remember referencing it because we just put together the after show and we were probably making gags in that.
The NAMM joke, not available maybe March.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So that maybe that's about to happen in the next episode too. Who knows?
Yeah, true.
It was cool to have guests that we had on the show. I mean, I don't remember if this... I mean, we've done a few with different people, and I actually don't remember when they were. Maybe this can be a review of everything we've done instead of just the last year, since we've never reviewed anything. But
yeah, actually, that's a good point. I don't remember specifically which interviews were in which year at this point.
Yeah.
But, well, sort of. I mean, I know Ricky was the most recent, right?
Yeah.
And that was definitely this year.
I think that was the most recent one.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fun to do that because it's fun to have another voice in here or voices. Mm-hmm. Like there was one where I think I had Tyler and Taylor both on. And
that was 2014 because that was when I was on my honeymoon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah.
So it's fun. It's a lot of work on the back end, though. The editing gets...
We haven't done that in a while. I mean, maybe we'll dig into that a little bit more. I'll
build up my courage and do it again. I liked that Beat Buddy pedal. Do you remember this? It's like a little drum machine in a pedal form. My dad picked one up, and I actually got my hands on it when I was out in New England some weeks ago. And they have a mini version, too, that's like a mono instead of stereo and some simplified controls. But... it's a really cool thing. It's a clever way of doing it. It, you know, you can control when it's going to do certain fills and things like that. The software is new, but they have like a user forum and they're listening to everybody's you know, it's almost like the software is in beta, you know, like there are some tweaks and troubles with it, but they're really working hard, and that that's makes good. You confident, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I heard it for just a quick second as well. And I thought like, man, you know, it does what it says on the tin pretty much.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
It does the job, and it's perfect for someone like your dad and what your dad's up to these days.
Right.
I mean, it's cool.
It's cool. One other sad trombone moment when Fender's marketing department decided to build a guitar without talking to the rest of Fender, and the Jimi Hendrix model came out.
Yep. Yeah. The newest Jimi Hendrix model, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Fender watched Gibson for a while and was like, we've got some room. This is the time. Yep. We can drop this bomb at this point.
Yeah, no one will notice. look at all Gibson's fuckery. Oh,
Gibson's stupid. All right. One other thing that I want to do, I wanted to pick like a best and worst pedal from the pedals that we tried out. So for me, and maybe it's just because it was so recent, but I was so surprised by it, was the Mr. Black Supermoon pedal.
Yeah.
I don't expect myself to really like a reverb pedal, but something about it just like was very cool, and it was like the easiest pedal to play a demo of. Like I have never done
it was
one
like an inspiring pedal.
Yeah,
to play
I've
through.
Never done one as quickly as that. Done a demo as quickly as that, and it was really great. I also really liked the JHS Twin 12, and then the Holy Dove Overdrive from Mercy Seat. Which I, as I remember, that one is like a, it's like a Centaur, like a Klon Centaur kind of copy, except instead of just being a treble boost, it had this switch on it that switched it to being a, like a bottom boost.
Right. Yeah. It was like a bass.
Yeah. Like it sort of flipped that part of it, and it turned into this really cool, very kind of gutsy drive. It was pretty neat. So yeah, those were cool too. So I guess I picked three, whatever. And of course, the worst pedal of the year has to go to JHS for the Color Box.
Ta-da!
Fuck you, Color Box.
I think we saw that coming. Yeah. Hating on Gibson and JHS and all those guys.
Justin's playing all his favorite songs again. All right. How about you're like adding stuff to your side of the notes?
Yeah, I had a hard time. I wanted to do this best and worst pedal thing too, and I had a hard time like remembering my pedals and stuff. So I was just looking through my camera roll on my phone.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I would often send a picture to Taylor saying, "Oh, look what I got," and I just was reminded of one extra that I'll give an honorable mention to. Okay. So anyway,
want to stick a Pedal Genie in here?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Pedal Genie is like the Netflix of guitar pedals. Rent any pedal you want for as long as you want, for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. With over 1,500 pedals to try from nearly 100 different manufacturers, Pedal Genie definitely has the gear you want to try. For only $39.95 a month, you get to try out any pedal you want for as long as you want. If one isn't enough for you, Pedal Genie Pro gets you 3 pedals at a time for only $64.95 a month. Not convinced? Your first month is only $1. If you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you just have to keep, Pedal Genie will offer you a buy-out option. Prices vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, but you'll definitely get an awesome price for the pedal in your hand. If you're the type to rent a pedal for an extended period of time, the new Flex subscription may be right for you. With Flex, shipping is not included, but you can keep your rental as long as you want for just $14.95 a month. So head to pedalgenie.com to fill up your wishlist with pedals, pay your $1, and they'll send out your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted.
Cool.
So how about that weapon mod system, though? I mean, seriously.
I've only added glow sights.
Knowing that I can put like a calibrated hardened receiver on my pipe revolver rifle so that when mole rats come jumping right out of the ground in my face, I can blow them away with the true power.
I like when you're on a loading screen. I don't know if the PC version has this, but when you're like loading into your game or switching
from a
building.
Yeah,
it shows you like the grid and like a weapon or something will just kind of rotate. Yeah. Do you see
it shows
that?
You like a weapon model or a monster model or something.
Yeah, something in the game. And so many of them are just like the most absurd like versions of any weapon you've ever seen. And I just love how it's the only chance you get to really look at something like that in close detail. And some of them are just insane.
Have you seen the bayoneted minigun?
No.
It's a minigun, right? But it's got like a cage of barbed wire around the Gatling part of the barrels. And then these like finger-like spikes coming out in like a ring. It's amazing.
Man.
I'm telling you.
The one I keep seeing is a chainsaw where the chain like follows some like crazy shape for some reason.
Oh, the Ripper.
Yeah,
Ripper's a melee weapon. That's been a thing, a mainstay of Fallout for a while, but it looks very cool in this game, yeah. Anyway,
back to... just changed podcasts.
Back to guitars.
Anyway, okay. I had this new thing from Boss, actually, the Boss DD500. We talked about this a long time ago now. Mm. Was it a long time ago? It was a while ago. Do I want to search the notes?
The one we just mentioned was something else.
That was
like a 720 or something, right?
Episode 45.
That
we talked
that
about
long
this
ago.
DD500. That was the Roaland episode.
Yes, sir, it was.
Anyway, that was, okay. So this is a delay pedal, and it's kind of, I think, meant to compete with the TC, like, Flashback X4 type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got all those, like, banks and, like, saving presets and many different delay sounds kind of thing going on. It is much smaller than Flashback X4, which is very appealing to me.
Because that looks pretty big to me. Like, you're sitting there holding it.
It looks pretty big, but it's still smaller than an X4.
Okay.
So I don't have one here, obviously, to compare, but it's not as wide. It's probably about just as tall, like the height of the pedal and stuff. But I think it's probably like one row of switches less.
Okay.
So about 3/4 the size, maybe.
Yeah.
So in here is like just a whole mess of delays. And it comes... I didn't really mess with like making my own sounds and stuff. I just banked through and played with what was already here because if it's still probably pretty close to what it was from the factory, they're just like all the crazy examples that Boss can put together. There's like 100 banks or something like that, some ludicrous amount, and each has two presets, an A and a B. And then you can like toggle between the two. So the way this would work is like you bank, you know, 2-foot switches up and then you select sound A.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Then you can turn each of them on and off.
So they can go simultaneously?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I see. They like each has its own bypass. So you can toggle between the two or have no delay, just standard bypass, obviously.
Gotcha.
A whole bunch of modes. So standard, which I'm assuming is just straight up digital delay.
Is that one going to delay your guitar signal?
Yeah. It will. So will analog, tape, vintage digital, dual, which is like a ping pong thing for when you're running in stereo. This is stereo in and out.
Yeah.
Pattern delay, which has like a rhythm to the delays.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can change the different rhythms and stuff. Kind of neat. Reverse, obviously, such a great sound. Always usable.
I love that.
SFX, which is like... you know, sound effects. It's got like bit crushing and like other kinds of weird stuff that you wouldn't really put on standard stompbox delays. Shimmer, which I gotta say, it's a delay, but like shimmer is usually a reverb sound, and this one needs a little more attention, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of not a fully cooked idea. And whenever it would come on, it was just like, what is that? It's a little too metallic sounding, I think.
Right.
Filter is the next one. Which is just, you know, putting a phase or a flange or something like that, constantly swooshing
LFO
on the repeats.
LFO kind of sweeps and stuff.
Slow attack, which will, the repeats will fade in.
Oh.
Which is really nice. That's kind of a cool thing.
Neat.
And then Terra Echo. And I kind of made fun of this before because that's a pedal you can go buy, the Boss Terra Echo. And they just added that
into this.
Oh,
I remember talking about it on the show now.
Yeah. That is like one of my favorite sounds. It's such a cool pedal. It's like this weird, like filtery delay thing. There's nothing really out there kind of like this. And I found like the most fun settings had some of the Terra Echo blended in.
Neat.
It's really cool.
Oh, so that's cool. So you can take multiple layers of it and blend them together to make a preset?
I think so, yeah. And like I said, I didn't really get into making my own sounds because this is a pretty overwhelming pedal.
Yeah.
There's like an LCD screen on this thing. There's like four little push buttons. Okay, so then the other knobs are time/value, and this clicks. So you use it to select. Mm-hmm. You can name your presets with this. You can set your sound, like all your repeats, by BPM or by millisecond.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Flexibility.
That's something I really wish the flashback had, because it's got a tap tempo, and so does this. But if you're like, I know my song is at a 160 BPM,
yeah,
you could just set it there and it'll always be there.
Right.
And then feedback control, effect level control, tone control, and a mod depth control. And mod depth like lets you add wow and flutter to any sound.
Neat.
Neat. Did I lose you?
No.
Okay. There was like a really long pause on my end before you said neat. So anyway, there's 3 foot switches on this, A, B, and tap/control. Mm-hmm. And this was also a really cool discovery for me. The tap button doesn't always work as a tap tempo. So, and I was like, well, what the fuck is this about? Like, yeah, I can't tap tempo my analog vintage delay sounds. That's bullshit. But like
vintage fuzz delay.
But it turns out what it does is you hold the tap switch and it turns into a self-oscillation control.
Oh.
Which I think is very cool. So
the crazy button.
I can't tap it in, but I can still dial in an exact millisecond if I wanted to, or an exact BPM, and then use this like panic switch.
Mm-hmm.
This also has a looper in it, which I did not play with because honestly, a looper is a looper. Let's face it.
Yeah.
But just so many like sounds, like so many banks, 2 presets per bank. Huge amount of flexibility. Delays sound pretty good. It's not, you know, the analogs sound like it would get you there most of the time,
yeah,
if you didn't want to bring out a real memory man or something like that. Of course, this would do the job.
The analog just kind of dirties them a little bit as they go, right? And tape typically does like a low pass, like it rolls off the high end, as well as making them a little grittier as they go on. And I'm interested, it kind of flew by and I didn't say anything. What was it called? Vintage digital?
Yeah.
Interested in what that means.
It's like a, I think it's based on like those early rack unit delays.
Is that like
the TC actually, the 2290.
2290. Yeah. I was going to say 2209. That's wrong. 2290. Yeah. So those
that's
were probably
Justin speak
like
for 2290.
16 bit or 20 bit or something like that. There's probably some kind of like real old thing that by today's standards is super janky digital conversion, but in reality, like it's just as good as like CD.
Well,
is.
It's one of those one of those sounds that like became really famous from old U2 records and stuff like that. The Strymon Dig. That pedal is based on vintage digital.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, you too. You have a flashback. I mean, even the little flashback has a 2290 setting on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. It never sounded like anything to me. Honestly, it sounded just like a pure digital delay. I guess there must be something. There must be something else going on there, but I don't really know what it is. So somebody explain it to me.
I'm not totally certain either.
It'll be the first time I've used Twitter in months. Hey, do you guys still use Twitter? Hey, listener. I'm just kidding. We occasionally see tweets.
We occasionally do.
Yeah.
I tweeted some pictures of my Telecasters for Tele Tuesday.
So is that what we do now? Is this like whatever the alliteration we can associate with the day of the week, we just do that?
I've maybe done a Tele Tuesday here or there. It's an internet thing,
mm-hmm.
You know,
Fader
plus
Friday.
Whatever. Let's look at gear. Yeah. Fader Friday, Strataday.
Strataday. Okay. Right on. Gibson
so,
doesn't
anyway,
have a day, does it?
No.
Fuck you, Gibson.
You don't get a day.
Sorry.
Anyway, so the DD500, it's cool. I could definitely see looking into this if I was, you know, wanting to buy something to replace a flashback type pedal. It's oh, another cool thing. You can switch it to true bypass or buffered bypass with trails, like right on the face of it. So you don't have to open it up. A lot of it's in the menus. So like you just jump through the menus with like the controls on the surface here, and it lets you just really easily on off. And you can set it to buffered.
That means it's presettable, right?
I think it might be. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, if it's in the menu, right?
I haven't like investigated what's applicable in the menus to presets.
Okay.
But that would be the way to do it if that's a thing. But
that'd be pretty cool.
You can do true bypass, buffered bypass, or buffered with trails. So what's cool is when you have trails on, it'll and you switch from your A sound to your B sound, your A trails will fade into your B sound.
Yeah.
So it's trails all across the board, which is super cool.
That's pretty neat.
Even as you bank up and down through the different preset like banks,
they'll trail over each other.
They'll trail over that too.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And you know, for a delay pedal, true bypass is great, but trails is pretty awesome.
Trails is almost necessary. I mean, the other thing is the true bypass is still a big deal, I guess, but that craze didn't start until two or three years ago. So, or maybe a little longer than that.
Probably longer than that.
But it's still not such a bad idea to have like one pedal that has a buffer. You know what I mean? Just to keep your signal consistent all the time. You don't need to stack a bunch of buffers. That's where your pedal boards will go wrong and get real noisy. Mm. But having one, and a delay is typically like the last thing or one of the last things in your chain, right? So it wouldn't be such a bad place for a buffer anyway. So,
right. I remember I have a pretty lengthy pedal run on my big board, and I took my Boss tremolo pedal off at some point just to put something. I put my phaser in it, in that spot instead. And it was like a lot different because it was the only, I realized after the fact, that was the only true bypass pedal on the board. And it was right in the middle.
You mean
it was
buffered juicing bypass. It
up. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. The only buffered bypass. Yeah. So it was really juicing up the signal through the rest of the pedal run. Mm-hmm. So I had like two small pedal boards with a buffered bypass in the middle.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's cool. It's $300 at Sweetwater. So it's kind of expensive, but this is like a different level of Boss pedal than a standard stomp box. So I'm okay with that.
That's not super expensive compared to other similarly featured delays.
Oh, sure. A TC Flashback is $250, I think.
Yeah.
But this has arguably more control, especially because you can get into the, I want it to be 790 milliseconds, kind of range. But in like TC, you can do that with the tone print stuff, but this is still a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
On the back, there's stereo in and out. There's expression control. It says expression 1 and 2. I think this is a TRS, so you could get one of those like wah-type expression pedals and click between two expression things. USB port and MIDI in and out. It does it all.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Hey, remember that since we're reviewing our own stuff here, there was a delay pedal that had a offset. It was some kind of swanky digital delay.
That had a what? Say that again?
It had an offset. Like you would set the tempo either by tapping or by milliseconds, and then it could offset.
Oh, yeah.
So that you were still in time, but your delays would be a little ahead or behind or something.
I think it was made by Free the Tone. The flight time.
Yeah.
Command. Imagine like what I could do if I didn't remember shit like this.
What space is being taken up in your brain? No, but that was such a clever idea, and I still haven't seen it on any other delay. It's neat. Because the idea being
real-time BPM analyzer. That's what it was called. The world's first time offset feature.
Yeah, because I mean that's. It gets your repeats out of the way of the actual beat, which means they can be more present or less muddying or perhaps more muddying. Anyway, nothing to do with this Boss pedal.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was a cool pedal. That's the one that doesn't have any knobs. It's all little buttons.
Right. Was that, what episode did we talk about that?
Oh, let's see.
I can do this.
That was episode 27.
Oh, so that's
27 in podcast years.
Really? I have it at 28.
Really?
Oh, we just had a price on it. So it was it was a follow-up. So yeah. Well, that means that was 2014. So strike this from the record.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
We can't talk about that's, it. Take it all back.
That's cool. I didn't manage to get a pedal returned in time because of holidays and whatnot and the mail being dumb. So so that Derek's pedal's all you're getting, suckers.
Mm. Deal with it.
Just accept it. Mm-hmm. Or cry. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for a letter grade?
Oh, that's a good thing we should do, right?
You think?
We should do...
That was going to be my next question. Should we do this?
Why not? Let's see. I mean, I've had a Line 6 DL4 for a long time.
Yeah.
And I now have a Flashback X4, which I've had also for a long time at this point. I would give this probably like a pretty solid B because it is complicated to learn. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on in the menus, but it sounds good and it's smaller than a lot of those other pedals that it's competing with. It's built like a tank. It's, you know, it's got some features that those other ones don't. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'll give it a B based on the learning curve that comes with it.
The learning curve makes it a little tough, but
a little tough. Yeah. You definitely read the manual with this one, but yeah, it's a fun pedal, especially with that, like certain delays let you use the tap as like a freak out switch for different things. So that's kind of cool too.
Neat.
Anyway. Yeah. Thanks to Pedal Genie as always for sponsoring the Tone Control. Boom. PedalGenie.com. Tell them you heard about it here.
Just do it.
Just do it.
You just go there and just tell them. I don't even care.
You want to hear a thing? The ad that we read on the show, I just recently found out, I think, is incorrect. It is no longer a dollar to sign up. It is free to sign up, yo.
That changes almost nothing.
Because dollars are so worthless.
Dollars are meaningless. Might as well be pennies.
Yeah. But yeah, now it's not even a dollar to sign up, as if that was the biggest hurdle for you.
Yeah.
But it's $0 now. So that's
$0 to sign up. That's cool. That's cool.
So anyway, let's move it right along.
Like the pipe rifles, or is it the revolver pipe rifle that you don't like?
They're just the fire rate is too low, you know.
You can put hair trigger receivers on there and up the fire rate. I think it's probably true. The revolver has
aren't they like a mag of 6 or something though? Like, well, that's
the trouble with the revolver. Typically, though, those are 45 caliber receivers, so
yeah. I am still mostly preferring the weapon you get when you're in the vault still. The first weapon you get, that 12 mag.
It's the 10 millimeter pistol.
Is it 10? I thought it was like a 38.
I think it's a 10. The typical pipe rifles, the non-revolver pipe rifles are 38s.
And actually now I'm using an Institute weapon a lot. Either the automatic Institute rifle
or the
Institute pistol. Once you start fighting synths, they drop their weapons, obviously, and it just shoots like a laser bolt, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
It's like a semi-automatic 30 rounds in the mag kind of thing. So you can just like, cool. Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are fun. And then of course, like the occasional hunting rifle and stuff like that. But
you got to get into the modding the weapons. My go-to is a pipe rifle that I've tricked out with a scope and everything, and it's awesome. Hey, yeah, so anyway, what's your picks for guitar gear for the year?
Oh yeah. We keep like just casually slipping into Fallout 4.
It's always on my brain.
Yeah. It's happening to me too. It's thinking about it a lot. Anyway, okay. So all those new pedals from Walrus Audio that came out about a year ago, or were announced about a year ago at NAMM. Right. Yeah, we talked about them early in the year, obviously, but I still think like those are now some really staple flagship pedals from Walrus Audio. Those are really cool things, like the Bellwether Delay and all that kind of stuff. I see them around now and I'm like, man, they really nailed it on these. I think those things are awesome.
Right on.
Still haven't tried one, but you know, what are you gonna do? The new neighbor, Neunobber. How do we say that?
No, new name. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But you remember the pedal, the V2 stereo pedals, like where you can. Those are the ones where you can USB over any pedal they make into the chassis.
It's a blank pedal that you load an effect onto. Yes. Oh, I can't believe I didn't put that
on my
list.
Love that idea. I'm still thinking about those. They come up every now and then. And I just like, what a great idea.
Such a great idea. Oh, man.
They have a little expression controller, too. It's not even an expression, really. It's like a external preset holder, pretty much. And it holds two sounds per bank. I think there's four banks. Just awesome. And you can like put any of their pedals into those presets. So you can have like one bank one be chorus and have two sounds there. Bank two is analog delay, and you have two sounds there.
It's an expensive pedal, and they're not charging enough.
Yeah, you know, and they're really good, and they sound really great. They're not even like just it's like a cool like cheapy presety thing. No, they are the real deal, and they make one of the best like drippy reverbs I've ever heard. Still thinking about it. Maybe if we have money left over after closing. Yeah, right.
Money after closing. This guy.
I need to laugh.
Yeah. No, honestly, though, I'm ashamed I didn't put that on my list.
Yeah. Well, you can have it. Today, actually, I just saw a post from these guys, Damcaster Guitars. Mm-hmm. Remember those? These are the guys that are making guitars out of reclaimed wood from an old dam in Georgia.
Right.
I think they make them like one at a time. I followed their Facebook page and they just posted right before I came upstairs to record tonight. They posted a new, custom model, I guess they made for somebody.
Aren't all the models custom? Production.
Pretty much. I think you could call them and say, I want this model though. Like they've got a few like kind of pre-cut things that they could do. This one was really great. It had a P90 in the neck and a standard Tele single coil in the bridge with the mastery bridge, which is like really super expensive and awesome. I just think those are cool. Reclaimed wood is something I think that's awesome. Fender did that a while ago too. They made strats out of redwood.
Ooh. Is redwood heavy or light?
I think it's light.
Is redwood a tone wood? You don't hear it used a lot.
You don't. But you also don't hear like pine used a lot.
Yeah, but when somebody uses pine, you hear about it.
That's true. Yeah.
It's a conundrum.
I got to research this, I guess, but like the early Tele prototypes were made from pine. And I wonder if that's because that was before like tone wood was a thing, or
it must have been before tone wood was a thing for electrics.
Maybe, yeah. Right, because acoustics had always been made from like spruce and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, certain woods were preferred for acoustic instruments, you know, going back to the dark ages. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, whatever. The next on my list is Prisma guitars, which are the guitars made from like multiply.
More weird wood. Derek's list full of weird wood.
Yeah, they look like skateboard decks, or they do the dyed plywood. I think those things look really, really cool. And then another thing, I've been meaning actually to put these guys back in our show notes, but Gear Supply Company. Because we talked about them a while ago, and since then, like, I've followed them on Facebook and Twitter and whatever else, and they're constantly just adding new stuff to their lineup. They're doing straps and cables and picks, and like they're doing everything. Well, they were doing picks before, but they're doing like all the accessories you need.
So this is like a recurring box, though, right?
The basic package of strings and picks is a recurring box, but at any point you say, "I need a new cable," throw one on my next order. So they just kind of roll it into your package. They're doing strap locks, but they're doing them with those little red bottle gasket kind. You know those? Like, you know when you get like a really fancy beer or something like that that's got the white plastic pop top? There's that red rubber gasket on it. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Okay.
is this like the universal strap lock thing we talked about where it's sort of, it's got like
kind
teeth?
Of, except this is like, no, this is like a repurposed thing from another industry that has actually turned out to be a good strap lock as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a red rubber ring that is, it's a gasket used on bottle closures, like for beer and wine and stuff. And you can pop it off of that thing.
I think I've seen this on jars. Yeah.
Yeah. So you put it on. You put your strap on your guitar and then you put the ring over the strap, this rubber gasket thing, mm-hmm. and it just is oversized. So it doesn't let your strap come off of the button.
Okay. So it just turns into a strap lock.
Yeah, basically. So if you don't want to drill into your guitar, if you have a vintage instrument, you can use these things and you're good to go. So they're doing that. And you can buy those at like any homebrew supply store or anything like that. But, you know, to get a few extras in an order is always nice.
Yeah.
They're doing straps, like the seatbelt straps. They're doing cables in like maybe half a dozen different colors, which is kind of cool. You get like a seafoam green cable now mm-hmm. from them. Polish, you know, that kind of stuff.
Whatever you might need, you know, consumables for your guitar.
Yeah. So I've heard their strings are great. I've never tried them, but I don't play as often that I would need a subscription for that.
Yeah.
Or I don't, because I mean, although
you need a very slow subscription.
Yeah, and I'm like playing long life strings anyway.
Right.
So
that's like I wanted to try out the Dollar Shave Club. But like their slowest like subscription rate is way faster than I use razors because I only shave like this little part of my neck. You know what I mean? Like having a beard, you only shave the part of your neck that itches. So
yeah, which is like, yeah.
I don't go through razors as fast as a normal person. So
I actually did join a shave supply place company.
But it's like.
That is not Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
But
I know what you're
we can about. Talk about this now if you want. But
I know what you're talking about. It's like beard oil and.
No. I like a razor thing.
Like
when I do shave my neck, I joined Harry's, it's called.
Harry's?
Have you heard
That's
of this?
That's clever.
Yeah. Thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
It's the razors are wicked awesome, and the plan is slow enough for me anyway. I don't know. It's like it ships every 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. I get 4 razors. But here's the deal, though. Their shaving cream is probably the best shaving cream money can buy.
Oh. That's interesting.
So that's what keeps me coming back. They also sell other stuff, but that's the deal for me. Anyway, and what they do is they send you a 3-month supply. Right. They don't send you new stuff every month for, you know, or whatever. So I only get charged like 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
But they send me a big box of stuff at a time and it's supposed to last me. So, yeah. Anyway. Shaving supplies and fallout.
I was going to say, so you're preferring energy weapons to the ballistic weapons?
So far, yeah.
I mean, if you pick perks for that, though, like, you can make whatever work for you.
I'm always like in the middle of doing something when I come across a weapon crafting table and I'm like, too busy. I'll do it later. Never go do it, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, what's your best and worst pedals?
So my worst pedal, I think we all know what this is going to be, but it's...
I don't think it's as famous as my worst pedal. You think everybody knows. I mean, I got to rant about mine like for like 5 separate episodes.
Times. Yeah. My worst pedal was pretty recently. It was the EHX Key 9.
So they had kind of a scattershot approach to this year, right? They just released so many pedals that one of them was bound to
miss. Let's see what sticks. And, you know, honestly... I get it. Not all of them can be greats. They can't hit it out of the park every time.
Yeah.
But especially for just the sheer volume of stuff they're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it's not there. The B9 and the C9, those had it. Those were cool pedals.
Yeah.
And although not something I would want to own necessarily. Lots of fun to have around and play with for an afternoon. Keynine, not the case. Just weird filters on your guitar.
Yeah. No, they kind of came at this movie studios do with movie franchises, right? Like they'll keep making sequels until one of them doesn't make back enough money. Like that is the only deciding factor for whether there will be another sequel. I mean, they even made another Pirates of the Caribbean after that story was closed. They were like, let's do it. And it probably won't happen again because it probably bombed. Right. I don't even know because I didn't hear anything about it. And the other side of the example, the Fast and the Furious. There's like 8 or 9 of those now. They keep making all the money.
I just saw.
So they'll never end.
Today, I just saw today someone, one of my friends from college, liked a photo on Facebook of like FF8. Like coming soon. And I was like, are you kidding me? They just keep making these movies.
Well, their record just got beat by Star Wars. So Star Wars officially for North America, biggest movie ever.
Yep.
As of, I think, today.
I just saw an interesting headline. Yeah, it was today. That said something like, Avatar was the movie to beat for that. And that's cool and everything. But like Avatar didn't have the lasting social impact that Star Wars has. And that, obviously Star Wars will continue to have and had before it even came out. Like it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Avatar was just like, oh, cool. Look at all these crazy special effects. Like that was, good movie. Fine. Whatever. Okay. We're really
this is
going to
be the best episode.
I'm really liking that we dive into the off topic without even being like, hey, you know what? Sidebar. Like, let's just start talking about the new thing.
I like us too, Derek.
Yeah.
I like us too.
Thanks, Justin. That's us saying our names this episode. Okay. In my best pedal, I think for this year. Oh, shoot. I just remembered another one.
He's got like 5 on the list already.
You had a bunch. What are you talking about?
I picked one and then I mentioned 2 others.
Actually, I'm changing mine
right
now. My favorite pedal for this year was the Strymon Flint, which I had when we were visiting you guys in Ohio.
Did you buy that crap yet?
No. I bought a house instead. And a new guitar.
Right.
But actually, I was going to say the Strymon Blue Sky, but then I just realized that the Flint just really had me. That was one of the coolest pedals I've ever tried. And then stuff honorable mentions, I guess most recently the Keeley Phase 24. I really like that phaser and the Earthquaker devices, the Depths.
Right, right.
I think it was like it's Univibe chorusy thing. That
right, right. I think it seems like you picked the Flint, but then the other ones were stuff that was recent. And I think that's tough to get over, like psychologically, like the stuff.
Well, the Depths was like over the summer, I think. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't the Phase 24, wasn't that like last episode? Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not
so.
Saying like you picked them and they weren't good, you just remember them better. I'm saying like it's hard to beat that bias. Like it's fresh in your mind. Like obviously that's gonna happen. But we also didn't start writing which pedals we had in the show notes until recently.
Yeah, that was part of the problem.
So when I sifted through the show notes to pick out things that I remembered, I didn't have that much help. But of course, Derek got to look at his photos. I delete the crap out of photos. I'm terrible.
I was just doing it. So here's the Depths. When did I... What, can I look at the information on this?
I have no idea.
I don't think I can. Well. Oh, well. It was after I had decided to build a guitar, I can tell you that. So it was like maybe September.
That long ago. Yeah. Anyway, no big deal. I wasn't trying to criticize or anything.
Yeah, I think it was September. Oh, but I did. Oh, now I got to stop doing this. Anyway, yeah. So Strymon, Keeley, Earthquaker, all mod pedals. I think it's because I like my distortion pedals so much that when I get a distortion pedal in, I'm just like, oh yeah, it sounds different than my plimsoll.
yeah, that's true. And I felt like it was going to be tough for me to choose something that wasn't a drive, because drive is just like, it's everywhere. It's It's ubiquitous. But Supermoon saved me. Saved by the Supermoon.
Save me, Supermoon.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, we ticked over an hour. That went all right. I was afraid we were going to have to rush, and then partway through, I was afraid we were going to have to slow down. That might have been why I started bringing up Fallout crap.
Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, you know, here's to 2016, I guess, right?
Yeah.
That's what people say this time of year.
I guess so.
My New Year's resolution is to not have New Year's resolutions and just do it because I want to do it at any time throughout the year. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not going to hold myself accountable for January.
Right.
January can suck it.
Yeah.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. We kind of cheated, and then we kind of cheated again. And
hey, did everyone enjoy the bonus episode?
Yeah, did anybody but us think that was funny?
I listened to it, and I was dying. Oh, my God, it was so funny. Because
sifting through
we
that.
Did it. I remember, like, every, like, when it was coming up, I was like, oh, my God, this is the joke about the book.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, that was fun.
That was fun.
Let us know if that was stupid or not. If you burned through that one, we're like, yeah, what a waste of time.
Yeah, if nobody, because honestly, like, I actually do want feedback, because if nobody thought that was, not that it, like, this is going to happen, like, we might do this at the end of the year, every year now or whatever, but
yeah, something.
If people didn't think that was funny, it's not something I need to take, you know, 10 minutes out of every episode editing session to do. Like,
yeah,
I don't care.
Right. I do like to have kind of extra / special content occasionally, mm-hmm. like some kind of bonus episode.
Yeah.
Because when I listen to my podcast and there's like, ta-da, surprise episode, it's like, oh, awesome, free stuff. Even though podcasts are all free anyway, it feels like, oh my God, I got a new thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hopefully that came across in the bonus episode, but
I hope so. There's a couple of good moments
after we wrap
where,
this up.
Like, there's a fly on my microphone, and I was like, "Oh God, it's such a good opening."
That was
slide
a good
it
opening.
Right over to the beginning.
Yep, thunk.
That was fun.
Oh man, yep. The one with Ricky was pretty funny too. I forgot he was in on that.
He's a good guy.
Cool. Hey, so. 56.
I wish I'd saved all the ones. We hadn't thought of it by then, but if we'd saved all the ones from the different guest episodes, because whenever we get to that part of the show, the guests are always like, wait, you're doing what now? So I'm supposed to, what am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to say what?
Yeah. What do you do?
Huh?
So I just read that
so
right now.
So you want
now.
Me to We're read like, it
no,
right now?
Well, we got to pick one first.
Oh, no, I promise. Okay. It'll be funny. Are you sure?
And then we read like two and they're like, I get it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good episode.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks to Pedal Genie. Oh, do the thing, right? Is that?
Oh,
that's not my
job.
You
want me to do this? That's not my job. I don't have to speak.
To all the components out there in the tone control circuit, thanks for listening and fuck off.
Are we keeping that? Are we keeping that? Sometimes I select it. Sometimes
episode,
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Let's just, you know, let's keep it interesting.
I didn't put any squealies in the bonus episode either.
That's, yeah, good call.
I was just feeling so
lazy. You
know,
I always wonder about, like, when people, if people come across the podcast and the first episode they ever hear of ours is that bonus episode.
Yeah.
What? Like, that's what I worry about. Like, it's not even worth worrying because it's like, oh, it's a special
labeled.
Thing. We, like, point it out everywhere.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if people are like, I don't get it. Like, my friend told me this was going to be good.
This well, maybe sucks. they're intrigued by the mystery.
Yeah, maybe. I think those jokes, like when taken out of context, are even better. So, you know.
Yeah, because that is the gag.
That's,
it's supposed to be a random bit of nonsense.
So anyway, let's get to those random bits of nonsense.
Okay. Well, you're gonna cut this up now. Now everybody knows what we do.
Yeah,
they were pretty sure before.
Special sauce.
They were pretty sure before. It's okay.
I think we mentioned it a few times.
We probably did.
But they don't know what
All right.
really is
I'm going to fade
until...
the music up right now, so anything you're saying now, no one will hear.